the youth hockey league, that's all about the Canadian hockey dream, right? They're, you know, parents drive their children all around Canada because there's the dream that maybe their child might be, just by chance, maybe the next Wayne Gretzky, right? And I'm here to tell you, it's probably not.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
There's only one great one, and I think he lives in Phoenix.
They say this town stars stay up all night. Well, I don't know, can't see them for the glow of the neon lights. And it's a long way from here to the place where the home fires burn. Well, it's 2,000 miles and one left turn. Dear Mom and Dad, please send money. I'm so broke that it ain't funny. Well, I don't need much, just enough to get me through. Please don't worry, cause I'm alright. See, I'm playing here at the bar tonight. Well, this time I'm gonna make our dreams come true.
Good evening, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you along, everybody. Glad to have you with us. Big show here tonight as we have a special guest on. Again, another Alberta guest, although technically an adopted Albertan, I guess, in terms of her being out there. I want to bring in, as always, co-host Jenna. Jenna, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. This lockdown kind of sucks, so.
Yeah, I feel that one.
Let's do our part, Manitoba, and get this over and done with. Before we get into the interview today, the Hockey Show just wants to pass on condolences to the Sasakamoose family after Fred Sasakamoose passed away on Tuesday at the age of 86. Fred obviously broke a number of barriers when he became one of the first Indigenous players to play in the NHL. He was the first Cree-born player, first Cree Indigenous person to play in the NHL, so congratulations to that, but unfortunately, he was hospitalized with COVID earlier this week before the virus eventually won that battle. Sasakamoose was inducted into the Saskatchewan Sports Hall of Fame in 2007, became a member of the Order of Canada in 2018. And of course, our thoughts are with his family today after he passed away on Tuesday. So all the best that goes out to them. Obviously not a very good time for that, but definitely want to get that in there as well. Today, though, we have a very special guest because she's been here before, and certainly we're happy to have her back. Today on The Hockey Show, we're proud to welcome her back, as she is one of the most decorated Manitobans in women's hockey history. She is by far too humble to list all of her achievements, but we'll list a few of them here, because she was a CWHL All-Star, a CWHL Goaltender of the Year, a Clarkson Cup MVP, a Clarkson Cup Champion, a silver medalist at the 2008 IIHF Women's World Under-18 Championship, and a 2015 ISBHF World Street Hockey Champion, to name but a few of the many accolades that she has collected. She was last year on August 9th, 2018, following her retirement from the CWHL, and I've always maintained that she should literally have already been back twice, if not more, on this show. We'll correct that error today, though, as Jen and I are proud, honored, privileged, humbled, and pleased to welcome former former CWHL standout, now retired goaltender, and Manitoban, Delaney Bryan, back to the show. Delaney, how are you? How's everything going?
I'm good, thanks. That was, wow. Good, how are you?
See, far too humble. I knew it. No, I'm good. Everything's well. Everything's going good out there for you, though, in Calgary?
Calgary's good. It's different times for everybody, so just getting through it.
Good, good. Mm-hmm. Jenna, you want to kick this off? Yeah, we have some fun, and we'll talk to Delaney about everything that has happened, I guess, since 2018 as well. So,
all right. So back in 2018, your last time on the show, we just found out about your puppy. So how's Riley doing since then?
Riley's good. She has another friend now that I have a roommate. So she's got some company all day long, and she loves it. But haven't gone on our park trip yet today, so we're going to have to do that as soon as this is finished, because she gets pretty antsy around this time of day.
That's some doggy magic right there, every time you mention the word park or walk, right? So
Yeah. Thankfully, she's not in the room right now, or else she'd be It would be the end of the interview.
That's okay. We're not going to go through the background of your life and career, obviously, on this show. We did that last time. Folks can go and download that episode off of Hockey Vlog in Canada if they really want it. I want to start, though, with the biggest news since your retirement, and that you were named the goalie coach for the Calgary Fire under-18 AAA team back on July 15th. How's life as a coach going for you, and what's your favorite thing right now about being a coach?
Coaching, it's good. I did a little bit of goalie coaching in like summer hockey kind of stuff over the years, and I did Sammy Joe Small's camp. I did other camps as well, so I've done a little bit, but I haven't done a full-time, full season kind of thing yet. So with the Fire, it's obviously a midget AAA or U18 AAA team, so it's a pretty big commitment for the girls and obviously the coaching staff as well. So it's good. I can't believe how much these girls do in a day. I don't know if I just forgot from when I was that age, but we ask a lot from them, but they give a lot back. So I really enjoy it so far.
Since you started coaching, do you have a new respect for the coaches that you had after the, new experience with with the Fire here?
I would say, yeah, it's kind of the same. I actually used to ref hockey as well. So it's kind of the same deal. Like you as a player, when you only see one side of it, you don't see all the other portions that go into a hockey game. So as a coach, I haven't had to make really any huge tough decisions with who's playing or that kind of stuff. But the behind the scenes stuff that I'm seeing with our head coach Kyle and everybody else, with how much work they put into it on top of their full-time jobs, and they don't get the credit they deserve for it. So yeah, definitely have a lot of respect for coaches, and I'm definitely glad to be a part of the team that I'm with this year.
We were informed that you were a little bit more involved maybe with the team than you're letting on as you suited up for a practice with the Fire a few weeks ago. What's it like facing real shots from players who want to score on the legendary Delaney Bryan in their young careers?
It was rough. I haven't been in a practice for years now. So, in the past couple of years, I've played a little bit in net. So, but it's beer league games, right? So it's totally different. I hadn't been in practice in so long. Even the first drill, my legs were just not used to having to be in a goalie position. So it was rough. It was good though. We just lost, I think both of our games the weekend prior, and one of our goalies had gotten into a really bad car accident actually. So, she's fine for the most part, just a concussion, but, the girls kind of needed a little bit of a pick me up, and I stepped on the ice. They didn't know who it was. I actually ended up tripping one of the girls while I was stretching as she skated by, and she kind of looked at me because she thought I was just like a younger double A goalie that came to fill in, and she was shocked to learn that it was actually me. Most of them didn't know until closer to the end of the practice, so it was fun, but it was rough. I'm not gonna lie.
In terms of being back between the pipes, did it feel good, or like specifically the next morning, were you like, okay, that was a mistake?
Yeah, my groin and my hips were in rough shape. I should have done a lot more stretching before and afterwards, but no, it was good. And it's some of those girls, like, they're going on to college hockey next year, so it's not like they are just newbies coming down and shooting on me. So it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Seems hard. I don't know. I could never. But one of your current Fire netminders, Sophie Lajeunesse, attended the Team Canada National Women's Under-18 Team Summer Camp this summer, something you did as a U18 player. October 15th saw the announcement that she'll be playing for the McGill Martlets when she goes off to university. Is she a player that we should maybe keep an eye out at the university level, or what? And what makes her as special as a goaltender?
Sophie, yeah, I love Sophie's actually the one that got into the car accident a couple weeks ago. She's fine, but she's the backbone of the team, right? She's a returning goaltender, and it's her grade 12 year. But she's so great to coach, because I don't know if there's politics or whatnot, but she actually didn't make Team Alberta, which was a shock to me, especially when I was told that she made the camp for U18 Canada. So I don't know what the background is there. Maybe now that I'm coaching, I can get an in on that kind of stuff. But a shock to learn that, just because of her being asked to the camp. And then once I got onto the ice with her, I knew why she was there, right? She's obviously a great goalie, but it's more so she's just coachable. That's what it's so much easier as a coach when you're giving advice and they're actually taking it all in, right? So she's that, and her work ethic, I think, are probably the best parts about her. She's maybe a little too hard on herself, but most goalies are, I think, unfortunately. But yeah, I just love how coachable she is, and she's kind of never really happy with her performance. We just had a meeting, like a one-on-one kind of meeting with her last week, and she's telling us that she has more to give. So hopefully once this lockdown is over, we can get back to playing and she can get ready for her season next year. And I have high hopes for her in the next coming years for university, definitely.
Definitely going to a place where, I mean, obviously a number of great goaltenders have gone. McGill, obviously home to Kim St. Pierre and Charlene Labonte. Do you think she's got what it takes to really sort of thrive at that level?
I do, yeah. And I did tell her that too. Like, McGill is obviously a great program and somewhere that Team Canada likes to watch, and it's close for, especially maybe next year, they won't be able to travel still for COVID, right? Like, it's good that it's within Canada, so Hockey Canada can probably watch her more than maybe the NCAA. So she's got little things, obviously, she's still so young, that she can work on. I can think of a million things that I improved or tried to improve upon since I was 17 to college level. So yeah, definitely with her work ethic and her drive, I think hopefully we'll be seeing her name in the future more.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I mean, like I said, we're always excited to see, you know, kids who have a chance to really sort of make a name for themselves. And certainly going to McGill is one thing. But yeah, if she's got the skills and got the talent, then hopefully we'll hear more about Sophie as she gets a little older there. Got to ask about you, though, because this coaching thing kind of replaced the playing thing. Did you find it to be a difficult transition to go from pro hockey player in 2018 to, you know, regular citizen of Calgary after you retired? Like, that fire, the competitive drive, that must have still sort of been burning inside you the following winter. No, like, does it ever go away?
That's the one thing that if you asked me what I missed most, it would be the competitiveness and the big games, right? So I actually ended up the next season after I retired, I probably played more hockey than I have in any other season of my life. mostly as a defenseman. I played on I was on a part of five teams that year. So two as a goalie, actually, with the men's teams, and then three were as a defenseman. So I play a lot, but definitely miss the competitiveness. And that's kind of what I struggled with the most. And as a defenseman, obviously, I'm protecting my goalie and I'm fired up and don't know how to turn the compete level off, even when it's beer league sometimes. So it was a little bit rough of a transition, but so, now I'm more of a D now. So
you didn't really retire. You actually played more. So it's kind of the opposite of retiring. Is that what you're saying?
Basically, yeah. Retired from the competitive part, but now I'm a love the beer league hockey. Play almost every night. So I guess, yeah.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so clearly keeping busy with the hockey there, but seems you may have found a bit of a competitive action as you're playing in the Wild Rose Ball Hockey Association with the Calgary United alongside players like Mandy, I'm going to mess up her last name, wow. Duhamel? Yeah, perfect. And Winnipegger Chelsea Karpenko. As the goalie for the United, you allowed just 2 goals in 5 games and helped the United win the 2019 Women's A Division Provincials over the Edmonton Ducks in a 5-0 shutout, where you stopped all 12. So congrats. And is ball hockey maybe now a bit of your release for that competitiveness?
Yeah, so the actual ball hockey league obviously didn't happen this spring. There's usually two teams that are like our Team Alberta team breaks into for that league. So when we play each other, I'll usually go in net for that. But when we play the other more beginner level girls, I'm usually playing D for that as well. Until we have the nationals and that kind of stuff, then the girls don't give me a choice. Usually I'm usually put in net for those. So unfortunately, I couldn't make the 2018 one. It was in Winnipeg, I think, or 2017.
Yeah, it was 2018.
Yeah. So I unfortunately couldn't make that one. And then I don't know where the last year, I don't think we put in a team because it was too far or something. So obviously this year didn't happen either. But yeah, ball hockey is something that I love to do in the summer. It's nice when you go as a defenseman too, because it kind of masks that you're running and killing yourself. In net, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's so different than in net on the ice. Obviously, you can't shuffle or slide or any of that kind of stuff. So it's a little bit of a learning curve when I go right from the ice to the floor. But yeah, I don't know. It's something I'll probably continue to do until I can't anymore, I guess, until my body falls apart.
Well, weird question. I mean, obviously, it sounds like it's a yes, but are we going to see Delaney Bryan suiting up for a Team Canada team at the international ball hockey level again? I mean, you were 2015 ISBHF Most Outstanding Goaltender. I mean, you kind of got a reputation as being one of the best.
I don't know. We'll see. I didn't go to the last one. You kind of have to, for those, you have to play at least in one of the tournaments between years. And I'm not sure if I did the last one, but, and then also, I guess it depends where it is. If I were asked, it depends. So I would say that I'm too old, but one of my goalie partners for the last three that I went to was in her 40s and she was awesome. So I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Too old? What is this, too old? Yeah, that's not a Delaney Bryan word, too old.
So obviously playing defense and tending nets are two very different positions. You spend your life playing high-level hockey as a goaltender, but our research shows that you also ditch the pads and paddle for some ball hockey games. Like you said, you're playing out quite a bit. Do you prefer the change from having to always stop pucks, or is the crease more your comfort zone?
It depends what we're talking, I guess. Beer league, for most beer league, yes, I would rather be out rather than in the net because I don't know, everybody's seen beer league games. There's, even if it is guys and if it's not the highest level, they're shooting headshots or the defense are past goaltenders that are on D and they get beat for, and there's breakaways constantly and that kind of stuff. So yes, as far as beer league goes, I do prefer D. Sometimes I get talked into playing in net if our goalies aren't available, but I don't know. It's just more fun for me as a defenseman most of the time, unless it's pretty competitive still, which I was finding. I was playing on a men's state alumni league team, so the hockey was pretty good there. But for the most part, yeah, I'd rather be on D for sure.
Is ball hockey the same way? Would you rather be on D than goalie?
Yes. I mean, unless it's competitive ball hockey, you're literally, you're standing there in your goalie equipment and you're sweating. You're not even without a single shot on it. Like, I remember the first summer that I played in Winnipeg and they had the Nationals in Winnipeg and it was like, I don't know, we were in varsity view and I barely got any shots that game, but you're literally just drenched in sweat. It's disgusting. Like, my chest protector already smells bad enough. You don't need the added summer hockey stench, yeah. But
well, you said on the last show you're don't stick your hands in the gloves of the blocker. They're the worst. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it is actually. I haven't gotten anything new in, I don't even know how many years. It's time, but now I just can't force myself to spend the money on it. So it's pretty gross.
I gotta ask, I mean, because obviously playing defense now, you know, you're a completely different sort of skill set. Who's teaching you how to unleash the booming slap shot?
No one, unfortunately. I shouldn't be taking them because I can't control them. Even my, like, I mostly take wrist shots, but it's there's a couple of girls on the, like, the women's league team that I played on that knew just like to get out of the way because I don't know where it's going, so get out of the way kind of thing. But the other day I went to the ODR with a couple of old teammates and Ia Gavrilova from the team Russia. I took a shot and she was like, oh my God, and then made me take a video to do it again and I totally fluffed on it. So I asked her for some pointers, but she wouldn't give me any, unfortunately. So here I am.
I mean, Ia's not a bad person to get lessons from, but yeah, she's not going to share information. That's not very good.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
You settled it. I'm going to ask the next one, Ace, because I think it's kind of funny, and I think that we need to really sort of parse this information. You've settled into Calgary life quite nicely, it sounds like. I mean, obviously playing hockey there, buying a house, adding Riley to the family, the whole sort of moving in and staying in Calgary is your thing now. Did you ever think that after retiring from hockey, you'd be sharing your house with a teammate again?
No, I didn't. it's a challenge some days, not gonna lie. Espo, we get along really well, actually, and we have since we've known each other. So we haven't killed each other yet, but the kind of the running joke is she hasn't given me a damage deposit yet because she's broken a couple of things and panicked, and I wasn't home when she did it, and it's just been a little bit of a chaos, but it's been good. We haven't killed each other yet, but now with these new guidelines coming out, where in Alberta, where you can only see pretty much your housemates, get back to me in a few weeks, I guess.
We'll have to see if that damage deposit's submitted in the next 2 weeks then.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, like you just said, you're going to be stuck with her for a little bit. Do you guys have any like at home activities plans, like crafts, board games, do yourself projects, anything fun?
She actually doesn't mind cooking sometimes, so that's nice for us. But we puzzle. We started puzzling the other day.
All of you guys.
She's doing one that I've already done before, and I like warned her ahead of time that it sucks, and now she's like actually admitting that I'm right. So thankfully it's I do shift work, and our schedules are complete opposite sometimes. So we go days without seeing each other, and then this weekend, for example, I won't see her at all. So we will have our alone time definitely, and we have our Netflix shows that we're watching together. So that's about it so far. When I have Riley here, we take her to the park usually, but nothing too crazy so far. I guess just the puzzle. We have a 1,500 piecer that we're about to start, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, there you go. I was going to say, is she one of the ODR partners that you have out there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Her and most of the other girls the other day were in a scrimmage game, and I kind of just, like, wasn't feeling it that day for whatever reason, and me and another old teammate, actually, Tegan Schroeder, were off to the side and joking about how, like, the kids are playing and how I had to call over and tell her she only had 5 more minutes left before we were going. So, yeah, she loves the ODR for sure, and she wears her ugly Oilers jersey every time.
Oh, Brittany, come on. speaking of Brittany Esposito, because, I mean, I got to ask, because she does have a pretty impressive resume when it comes to her hockey career. But she was an assistant coach at the University of New Brunswick Varsity Reds program, the women's program, before coming home to Alberta. Did she have any advice for you as you began your coaching career here in Calgary?
You know what? I don't know if she did. It would be nice if she would have. but nothing that I can think of that she for sure told me. I'll get on her about that later.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, she must have seen enough that she would know a little bit to be like, hey, just keep an eye on this or whatever. But I'm surprised that she didn't lend her expertise there.
Yeah, exactly.
bad friend.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about the loss of the Lethbridge Pronghorns hockey programs. You went through something similar with that with Wayne State, in that it was handled horribly regarding the communications, and it kind of blindsided you. Knowing what this feels like, what advice would you have for the players and the committee working to bring Pronghorns hockey back to the University of Lethbridge?
That was a tough time for me personally, and obviously for everybody that was on the team. When they told us it was the end of May, and basically at that point, most teams for the following season have their positions filled and definitely their scholarship money filled. So it was rough in that sense. We tried kind of everything we could as far as we started a petition and got a whole bunch of signatures and that kind of stuff, but it didn't do anything, unfortunately. I know for a lot of the girls on my team, it actually ended up being a better opportunity for them. Some of them may not have been playing a lot at the Div 1 level, and they ended up playing
for a Div 3 school, and actually ended up really enjoying their experience more than they might have in Wayne State. So it's kind of just taking the most out of the opportunity that you're unfortunately handed. You might think it's kind of the worst case scenario. For me, it was kind of a win-lose or a bittersweet moment, I guess. I went from having probably one of my best years of hockey at Wayne State my junior year to I ended up just staying for half the season in Detroit. And then I transferred halfway through the season and redshirted and played in Pittsburgh. But yeah, for me, I went from being the starter to not being the starter. And that was rough for me. But also on the plus side, like I said, you get different experiences, right? So I went from downtown Detroit, a big school where the sports teams weren't really that big of a deal, to small town Pennsylvania, where it was pretty much just the university on campus and a lot more student athlete interaction and that kind of stuff. So just make the most of whatever you're given. If it's a better opportunity as far as playing, or if it's a better opportunity elsewhere in life, then I guess that's what I would tell them.
I mean, that is good advice. I mean, we've seen a lot of the girls sort of stick around Lethbridge and try and do their best to bring Pronghorn hockey back, I guess, in terms of just finding ways to make it work. But I mean, there have been girls that have gone off, obviously the ACAC, some to other U sports teams. I mean, you just the way you started it when you said, you know, it was done in May and it was the worst communication you've ever received from anybody in terms of notification. Like the similarities between the way that these schools are doing these things seems to be repeating itself over and over, not only with Wayne State, but with North Dakota, now with Lethbridge. Like, I know that schools use their sports teams as marketing programs and certainly to market their schools, you know, bringing players in and thriving off the success of them. Should there not be a better way to handle this? Because it keeps happening again and again.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, even if they know that it's kind of inevitable, like, at least telling the girls it's their last season so that they have some time to look elsewhere after the year or anything, something like that, right? Like, it's not like it's just a minor decision. It's like, for me, I was at the school I was at for 3 years and I ended up having, even if I wouldn't have redshirted, I would have had to take an extra year of school because of transfers that or a credit that didn't transfer over and stuff like that. So it's big life moments, I guess, for these girls that they're having to deal with and kind of change last minute. So it'd be nice if they could plan ahead of time. So I don't know why so many schools have chosen to do it like this, but it's, I don't know, seems like a little bit of a dirty move to me, but 10 years later, I'm still a little bit bitter about it, obviously.
And rightfully so. I mean, like I said, I mean, you told us the story on the first show that you were on about the whole Wayne State incident. And I mean, it sounded like it was just, I mean, if the word inept was even close to being the way they handled it, that would be nice, but it wasn't. So I don't understand why school administrators cannot be straightforward with the people that are paying tuition to that school. And that's the thing that kills me, is that administrators know that this is coming. They certainly aren't blindsided by it. They go through budget things every year, budget, you know, evaluations every year. And yet they never seem to be upfront about these kinds of things with the players. And then, as you said, there's an entire life that's going to be altered now because somebody can't live up to the commitment they made. And it drives me bananas that this keeps happening again and again. I don't want to see it happen again, but I just feel like it's going to happen again at some point.
Yeah. And now with COVID and some teams not being able to play and the programs not bringing in the money, like, you don't really know what's going to happen. You don't want to expect it ever really, but I mean, hopefully some schools are getting some bailouts elsewhere, but
yeah, knock on
wood. Yeah, if it does happen, hopefully they're given more of a heads up and it's not handled so horribly. But yeah, I feel for all those girls that are getting the short end of the stick there. Definitely.
I mean,
I feel like this kind of, sorry, goes into just how, you know, every week we talk about how hockey is like the one sport, not the one sport, but it's definitely always, you know, business over, you know, people or humanity first. So I feel like this just kind of like goes to show that it's not even just in the NHL. Like, it's at every level you play at. Like, yeah, they do maybe sometimes care about players, whatever, but when it comes down to it, like, business first always.
Yeah, I agree. And unfortunately for hockey, like, so they cut the men's program before I even got there at Wayne State.
just because hockey is, it's one of the most expensive sports to maintain, right? It's not only the equipment, but it's the ice and it's the building itself. It's all of that goes along with it. So if the big wigs aren't seeing any money come in, then yeah, what do they care? I guess it's unfortunate.
But I mean, going back to that point, though, it's not like hockey has just sprung up out of nowhere and everybody wants to play it. I mean, we know it's an expensive sport. We know everybody's been around the game at the university level anyway for a long time, whether you grew up in the sport, whether you got into it at the junior level, whatever. Like, everybody knows it's equipment, ice time, all that is expensive. And you would think that these schools that venture into hockey would go, we need to have a plan in order to make this a long-term viable option for players, for students. But it doesn't seem, and maybe it is, maybe it's just that things have changed over time. But I mean, Lethbridge, it didn't even last 20 years. I mean, they hadn't been around for two decades. They're done. So I don't understand why this is now just an, oh my God, look at this. We're spending way too much money on this.
Yeah. And I would agree. I mean, you could go into that with the CWHL and how it was all of a sudden just kind of thrown on the girls last minute and how they can't afford it. So it's like, you should have been planning all this a lot ahead of time, but I don't know. It's unfortunate for sure. It is, don't want to say it is what it is, but yeah, it's unfortunate that it keeps happening to these programs.
Well, no, I mean, I'm glad you brought up the CWHL, because that's sort of where we're heading, is that it seems that all these opportunities for, especially for women's hockey, men's hockey not so much, but certainly for women's hockey in Canada at the highest levels, is kind of moving in the wrong direction, so to speak, with, again, loss of university programs, the demise of the CWHL. So I got to ask, I mean, what impact have you seen? What impact have you sort of felt with the loss of the Inferno in Calgary, you know, especially with them no longer being front and center? I mean, I know players are still there, but what have you seen in terms of the changes that not having sort of that highest level of hockey available for women anymore has done to sort of the lower levels of hockey?
Like my 5 years playing in the CWHL, even just from the first year to my last year, there was so much growth in the league and the sport. Like by the, I don't know if it was the third or fourth season that I was here, minor female hockey in Calgary actually got changed from, I think they're all called the Fire, but it changed to the Junior Inferno. So you were seeing the logo all over the city on little girls, their sweatshirts and that kind of stuff. So seeing that was awesome. And then we got the Inferno players actually got more involved in the female minor hockey here. And we each had kind of our own teams to mentor and that kind of stuff. So even before that happened, there were little girls and there were parents of these little girls that didn't even know that the Inferno existed, right? So you would tell them that you played for them and they still wouldn't have any idea who they were. But once it changed over to the Junior Inferno, definitely became more recognized and well known, and our attendance was rising, and we were in the big rink at Winsport for all of our games and that kind of stuff. So for it to go, for me to see such a steady incline throughout my years here to all of a sudden the year after I stopped playing to it just completely being vanished is, it's a little sad for sure.
Has there been an effect though? Like, have you noticed that obviously there's an effect. I mean, there's less people obviously talking about the Inferno and playing at the professional level, but have you noticed it, you know, especially now that you're coaching, that there just isn't that same sort of enthusiasm for long-term goals for girls now?
Yeah, like it's tough to imagine if I were a college athlete right now, because it's, you don't really know where to go after this. If you don't want to stop playing, there's still the PW team here in Calgary, but from what I've heard of those ice sessions, there's only a handful of girls that are able to make it, because once again, it's during work hours. So all the girls that aren't Canada members out here are having to miss the practice and that kind of stuff. So it's tough for me to imagine if this were to happen while I was still playing, but definitely the girls that I'm coaching are old enough. The U18 girls, they're old enough to know what the Inferno was, and they're excited to hear that I was a part of the program and that kind of stuff. So for younger girls that are maybe a little too young to remember a couple of years ago now, it'll be sad if nothing gets figured out in the next couple of years. So hopefully we don't see that.
So with that, like, we've seen the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association put all their eggs into the NHL basket, hoping for backing from the NHL to start a pro women's league. But that seems all, you know, farther off now, thanks to COVID, as for everything else. But do you believe that that's the only way to have a league that pays women to have hockey as their only profession?
I mean, it would help, obviously. The NHL has given the CWHL money in the past, but it's pocket changed them, right? It was like $50,000 or something like that. But
nothing, yeah.
You want to look at the NBA and the WNBA and that, and use that as more of a template, which I think a lot of people are doing. But yeah, I mean, with COVID and the men are getting docked in their pay and that kind of stuff, I don't know if it's going to be a sooner rather than later type thing. But I know that the girls that are in the PWHPA right now, they're fighting for the sport, and especially the ones that are in between Olympic years, right? Like they need somewhere to play. You can't just play one season every 4 years and be Olympians, right? It's a tough cycle, and it kind of has. Women's hockey has been a tough cycle for a long time. You want the best of the best, right? But you need to be able to train to be the best, and to be able to train, you need the time, and you can't have full-time jobs if you are wanting to train all the time, but you need money, right? So it's kind of a rough cycle, which is broken in the future for these girls. But the NHL would be nice if they could back, but we're seeing some sponsors, especially recently, come up with the PWHPA. Like there's an insurance company and Secret Deodorant and Tim Hortons and all that stuff. So
Sonnet Insurance announced that today. They were backing the PWHPA. You're right, Secret Deodorant is in there. Tim Hortons is in there. I mean, we've seen some good companies with what looks like some good financial backing step up. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we're asking for full-time positions, right? I mean, there's got to be somebody or something, aka the NHL, to step in and maybe make this a full-time thing, right?
Yeah, and it didn't, at least they were using this as an excuse the last few years, is with the NWHL, the NHL was saying, well, you guys are split. We're not going to give you the money that we might if you were one league. So that in the last few years that I was playing I guess they're still going, but with the split in the women's hockey, like you want the best of the best talent and the best players. But when you're splitting them up between two leagues, it makes it tough to be able to choose which league to back, which the NHL was kind of using as an excuse, it seemed like, which sucked. And now here we are with no CWHL, and the best players, it does seem, are in the PWHPA, which is nice. So it'd be nice if it was just one league of the best and was backed and everybody could put their time and training into it. But unfortunately, that's not where we're at yet.
I know I'm not going to get you in trouble at all, Delaney, but can I be honest and say that excuse, as you call it, and I certainly agree with that word, that excuse that the NHL used is absolute crap, because if you can pay millions of dollars in signing bonuses to players, you can certainly afford to pay $1 million to a team of women. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that's why it's kind of like you want to be grateful, but it's also like it's kind of also like a little bit of a slap in the face, right? It's the money that was given to us was nothing compared to one NHL player's salary, like average salary, right? Like, so it's, I don't know, it's tough to see. But again, like Jenna said earlier, it's a business, right? They'll give money if they know that money is going to be returned, and they want it right away, right? Like they, even with the sponsorships and stuff, they want to see money coming back to them for doing it. So unfortunately for women's hockey, it's not going to just be a quick fix. It's going to be something that will be a few years in the making, and if sponsorships or the NHL aren't seeing any money come back to them, then it's not a commitment that they want to do right now.
I mean, I agree with that, but again, I think that these are all businessmen. They all know that the growth of a business takes time, and certainly popularity of a business requires you to put a product on the ice that actually is A, entertaining, B, successful, and C, you know, gives fans a reason to come back game in and game out. And I don't know if any of the, I can't believe there are no businessmen. I know there are some, and I know there are a few that have committed and, you know, have said that they're entirely behind it, but I can't believe there are not more businessmen in Canada that see that opportunity as an untapped market for entertainment. Because and say what you want. I mean, I know there'll be detractors out there that say, oh, it's not mental, it's not the same. They don't hit, they don't. Spare me the crap, because it's good. I mean, we're talking about the best women's players playing against each other. It's basically like a mini Olympics every game.
Yeah, exactly. And there's the fans that come out every 4 years and watch the Olympics and say that they're Canada fans when the women are winning. And then there's, you know, like it's like there's, they come out of nowhere and then they're only there for the 1 year. And then between, they just expect the girls to train and be good and be ready for the Olympics next time around. Like, I don't know. It's tough. It's for the Inferno. I know that a lot of people, when they came out for the first time to watch a game, they would all say how entertaining it was and how impressed they were and that they'd be back. So I don't know. It just takes coming out one time is kind of what we were trying to get people to do. So
my thing is like, no, you're like, when people are like, oh, it's not the same, whatever, you're right. It's not the same game, but at the same time, I mean, it's not the same. They're not hitting, there's different rules, whatever, but it is a different game, but it's still like, it's high level. Like, these girls are like incredible. And I'm like, people go sit and watch people golf all day long. Why would you like go watch a hockey game and then they're like, oh wow, that's actually really good hockey, I'm gonna go back, you know?
The difference between
the matter of getting it out there.
The difference that I mean, I agree with you, Jenna. I mean, that's entirely right. But the difference that I look at it though is that you watch the Olympics every single game. Like people will die in Canada to watch Team Canada win a gold medal. And it's all skill hockey. There's hardly any hitting. There's a few big hits, but there's hardly any hitting. There's definitely no fighting. And there's certainly, you know, a ton of great players playing together on every single team, every single game. And yet that's what the CWHL was. And I don't understand why hockey fans don't see that. Like, if your definition of hockey is big hits and big fights, you're looking at the wrong sport.
Yeah, yeah, especially now in 2020, that's not really even the NHL's thing. So,
like, I don't get it. Like, don't get me wrong, I watch men's hockey as well, but we're here for the skills. We don't watch the highlight reel for the fights. We watch the highlight reel for the big goal, for the big save, and that's exactly what we saw in every game in the CWHL. So, I always struggled with that argument because they are the same games. They're just played slightly differently. There's just less. There's more of a skill game in the women's game than there is in the men's game, I find.
Yeah, definitely, because they're able to skate with the puck, right? They don't have to worry about getting smoked at the blue line. But that's where that cycle that I was kind of saying, like, comes into play. Like, there's obviously the Team Canada and Team USA girls that are split up between the CWHL once when there was teams. And then there's obviously a little bit of a lower skill level with the third and fourth lines that aren't the Team Canada girls. But those are the girls that are they still played high level in NCAA or whatnot, but those are also the girls with full-time jobs, right? So it's hard to get the training, get the practice, get everything in and be the best if you can't give the time to it, right, when you're having to work as well. But that's where the money part comes in. So if you can't be paid to play, then you need to sacrifice, I guess, in other areas.
Well, I mean, and the way you just said that, I mean, yeah, I get that there's always going to be sort of a third and a fourth line player. I mean, that's just the way that it's set up. But I mean, how different would it be, though, if those third and fourth line players were given the same opportunity to train as often as, say, the Olympians, right? Like, Bate from Montreal didn't play on Team Canada for the longest time, and yet she made the last couple of Team Canada teams simply because she was able to show off her skills and train a little bit more and do a little bit more. If you gave, and again, I'm not trying to lump anybody into any sort of slot here, but if you gave a Brittany Esposito or you gave, say, you know, a Jackie Pierre an opportunity to train as much as a Hillary Knight or a, you know, a Poulin, maybe we see them make that next step.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, if that opportunity was given, if the money was there to pay the players, then the product is going to be better. But without the money, it's hard to do that. Not saying that the league and the level of play wasn't already very good with what we had. Like, even I played 2 years on Olympic years, right? So most of the Team Canada girls weren't there for most of the year, but the skill level is still super high. It's NCAA girls, it's CIS girls, it's all those girls that are still really good hockey players and love the game and play for the love of the game. So I don't know. That's it's tough, but I guess that's where women's hockey is at. Hopefully not for too much longer.
Well, I mean, speaking about stepping up, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here then. We saw Sammy Jo Small move up from the ice to the GM role in the CWHL. If, for whatever reason, if a professional women's hockey team ended up in Calgary, would we see you involved as a possible coach, as you know, in terms of some capacity. Would you ever take that opportunity if it was presented?
It'd be, like I said, I work chipper, so right. it might be tough with that, yeah. but I do really enjoy coaching. I'm still pretty inexperienced, and I'll be the first to admit that, but I do love it. And I was actually asked a couple of years ago by it's top prospects goaltending here. It's who I was working with when I was still playing. He's actually the guy who runs it is actually a police officer in Calgary. So, and he's the goaltender for Team Canada Girls. So it's Brad Kirkwood is his name. And he asked me to kind of partner with Amanda Tapp, who was doing the women's side of their development. And at the time I couldn't put the time or effort into getting involved with that. So now that I'm a few years away from that, and I'm a few years out of playing, that's something I would definitely look at, but I would need to get more experience first, definitely. And I guess see where it goes from there. But I definitely love coaching. It's a different take on the game, but it's more stressful, I think, than playing the actual game. I'll tell you that much. But maybe one day, yeah.
So speaking about Sammy Jo Small, your role model wrote a book entitled The Role I Played. In it, she talks about her experiences with Team Canada and Hockey Canada. I know that you probably haven't completely finished it up. You were up till 1 a.m. reading the book last night. However, like, what do you think about the book so far?
Yeah, I was one of those fangirls that bought it, like, the moment she released that she was, that it was coming out. So I got it right away. Unfortunately, I was already working on a couple books, so I've only just started it. It's not one of those books that I can read before bed because I get too into it. The years that I'm reading right now, so I'm about a third of the way in. The years are where I'm a little younger, and I don't remember everything. So it's nice to be able to kind of relive it through her eyes, obviously, but relive it through my memories as well. And just kind of little stuff she's saying is like, oh yeah, I remember watching that in the basement with my dad, and like that kind of stuff. So it's definitely bringing back why I respected her so much and loved her so much as a player. And yeah, I'm enjoying it so far, obviously, because I couldn't put it down last night, but looking forward to the rest of it.
I mean, both Jen and I read it. We thought it was fantastic. So, I mean, I will say you'll probably enjoy a lot of it. I will say that I didn't enjoy some of it only because I found, well, not that I didn't enjoy it. I shouldn't say that. That's the wrong way to state that. But I found her Hockey Canada interactions to be very difficult. And I know you had your own experience of the under 22 team or whatever. I mean, I don't know if it's going to bring back bad memories for you or anything like that, but I mean, I thought there was some stuff in there that I was like, is Hockey Canada really like this? Like, you don't have to go into it with your experience, but I just found it to be very, I don't even know, like zero feelings for the player.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I have a lot of friends that are in the program or have been cut from the program, and I've heard of different experiences. I'm not, as far as my own experience goes, I was invited every year of the U22 to the fitness camp, but I just couldn't get past the beep test minimum requirements and that kind of stuff. And she spoke about that, about how she's not a runner, but she's a lifter. And they did the bench test, and they did that kind of stuff with Hockey Canada when I was there, but their main focus is the beep test, or it was the beep test. I don't think they even do it anymore. they do mostly bike stuff now, but for me, it was like, couldn't get myself to get to the minimum requirements for the running. Never been a runner, never will be, but so I'm not making any excuses for myself there. I know why I was cut every year that I was.
Yeah, but I mean, that's funny, because I mean, Sammy said the same thing about the beep test when we had her on the show, and she was like, no, like, that's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, and I still stick to the my idea that I think that, I don't know if she told you about the riot test. Do you know what the riot test is?
Oh, I hate the riot
test. I've only heard about it. I've never actually seen
it. It's terrible. I don't know what the distance is. It's like, I think
it's double than the beep test. So
40. Okay, so it's, I think it's 40
meters there and then 40 meters back.
And you get a certain amount of time to run there and back, and then however much in, I think it's 30 seconds. So if you get there and there and back in 20 seconds, you have 10 seconds to rest until you do it again, and you do it 6 times. So before like it was the summer before my before I actually made the U18 team. It was one of the U18 camps, and I went, and the thing broke on my fifth sprint, and then I had one person rest in between, and I had to do it again. So that's really the reason that I think that I made the team, is because they felt bad for me that year, because I had to run that two times, and it makes you feel like your lungs are bleeding. So
yeah,
I don't know.
By the last one, your legs feel like they like don't work, like you don't feel like you have legs anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So that, and then I had a 2-minute break and had to go again. So that was, I really just think they felt bad for me.
That's terrible. I feel bad for you. I would just, no, that's a no for me.
I've never done it, and I'm already saying no.
Yeah, don't do it. It's not, I couldn't walk for like 2 days after doing it.
But it also, you taste like the penny in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got you what you're saying now. It's just that not good feeling for the longest time after that. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible. So back to what we were talking about. I've seen some of the interactions that actually was, so Billy, Sammy's husband, I had gone and watched Sammy play when I was in college, and she for the CWHL when I was still in college, and I was talking to Billy because I already known him from her summer camps about her experience with Team Canada at that time, and it would have been before she was, like, I guess officially released from the camps, and it was how how she was experiencing things with them, and even her sponsorships and that kind of stuff, how they weren't backing her quite like they used to be. So it's tough to hear that about her experiences. And then I know that even some of the best players in the program don't have all of the greatest experiences. So it's, I don't know, it is what it is. It's, I've heard some horror stories from that, but as far as my own experience, I know why it was cut, so I'm not making an excuse for myself.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna ask, because I mean, we only got a few minutes left. Sorry, I was just checking the time. We only got a few minutes left here. Delaney, I'm gonna ask you, because I'll be honest, I hate it. Jenna loves it.
Okay, I don't love it. I don't love it. Just to clarify, I like it. Absolutely. Love it.
Whatever. It's still, I just despise it. So the Flames brought back the Flaming Horsehead jersey as part of the reverse retro jersey in a line that they just introduced. Where do you stand on the Flaming Horsehead?
That's terrible.
Yes. See? Finally.
It's so bad. It's their worst jersey by far.
Exactly. See, Jenna, this is what I'm talking about.
It's fine. We're going to fight about it later.
Us real Winnipeggers, we know what we're talking about.
People are very torn on, like, I don't know if you looked at the comments and some of the releases, brutal. But people are torn. I don't get it. I don't know why people would like it, but I'll let you have your opinion, Jenna, I guess.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Jenna took heat from me, too. Don't worry, Delaney. Yeah. What do you think of the new Winnipeg Jets charcoal gray jersey?
Okay, well, at first, I thought it was pretty bad, but then it, like, grew on me a little bit. But still, like, nothing will ever compare to the Heritage Classic jersey. Like, if I were to buy a jersey for myself, it'd be the Heritage Classic. So I don't mind it because it's got the old logo, at least. And gray is, like, not a color, but it's my favorite color. So I don't hate it for those reasons. But you got to go with the Heritage Classic if you're picking. So.
Out of all of them, which one stood out the most? Which jersey, which new line, their new set of jerseys was the one that was like, yeah, that's the one.
In a good way or in a bad way?
Either or. We'll go both, because I think both answers are valid.
Because like, I want to like the Anaheim one because it's the old school, but it's like it's just weird with the duck and the front. But what else? LA, everybody seemed to love the LA one.
Yeah.
I like the Minnesota one. The color scheme on that one, and then obviously the Hartford one. It's always going to be nice. So, do you disagree on that?
I dislike the fact that Carolina thinks that they're the Hartford Whalers. They're not the Hartford Whalers. Stop trying to be the Hartford Whalers.
It's because the jersey is that much better. They know how to please the crowd.
Right, and that's part of the problem. But the other thing is, you play in Raleigh, not Hartford. Stop being another team.
Fair like, enough. Sorry. I guess you're looking at that. Somebody mentioned in one of the comments that the Jets should have brought the Atlanta ones back, and I was like, thank God that they didn't.
because those were gross.
There have been a few, and I've seen them on Twitter. There's been a few redesigns where they've redesigned sort of the that, you know, that stupid T logo they had on their navy blue one. They've redesigned to like a jet and actually just put the jet on the front. And I'm like, okay, that's not bad. It's not great.
Okay, so it's jet colors. Yeah. Still. Okay.
With kind of a jet logo as opposed to a stupid Thrashers logo. So yeah.
Okay, maybe in that case.
I'll have to find it again and tweet it out to you. Send it off to me. Yeah. Before we go, because I want to sort of make this note, I believe we need to start addressing you by your proper title now, which is Constable, Brian. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, I guess. It depends on the day. last time I was on the show with you, I was in classes, and
yes, you were.
Our sergeants were told to be strict on not telling anybody if you don't really want to, but I don't see myself going undercover, and I'm a terrible actor, so it's not not ever going to happen. So I guess we can put that out there if we must.
Well, I just think it's cool. So congratulations on obviously on getting there and getting the badge, and that's fantastic. And secondly, are you enjoying it? Is it everything it's cracked up to be as you may have thought it was?
I mean, it's a loaded question right now with where the world. yes, there's. I have the best team, I think, in the whole service. Like the boys, and there's another woman that I work with that we all get along, and we're all just kind of a bunch of we're ridiculous, but we have fun and we get the job done. So my direct team is good. I think police sometimes get some disrespect that they don't always deserve, and maybe it's a little bit extra right now. So it's tough that there are definitely some bad cops out there that are giving everyone else a bad name. But yeah, overall, yes. But there's some tough days for sure.
I mean, I'll come to your defense on that. Every doesn't matter what walk of life you're in, there's always somebody in there that ruins it for everybody, right? So don't take it to heart. I mean, obviously we respect what you do, and certainly we respect you immensely. I want to say that I know I made the offer last time. The door is legitimately always open for you, Delaney. Like, you can come back whenever you want.
Noted.
I mean, you complain that you know there's enough to talk about, that we'll never find enough. We just filled another hour. Like, this is no problem.
All right. I'll keep it in mind.
Okay. And tell Brittany that she owes us now, because she...
Yeah, no kidding.
She needs to man up.
She needs to explain why she won't give you any good coaching advice as well.
So. I hope she hears you say that right now.
We'll grill her on that as to why that happened. So, in saying that, come back whenever you want, Delaney. And certainly, I mean, if anything changes, let us know, and we'll be happy to have you on and talk about it for sure.
Sounds good.
So there's Delaney Bryan. Happy to have her on. Happy to have her back on the show. Again, it's been a couple of years since we talked to her, and certainly we're always grateful to get a little bit of her time, because she did another outstanding interview today, especially the part about the Lethbridge Pronghorns and her, what she went through with Wayne State. I think that's especially poignant for some of those girls who aren't playing hockey right now. Because, I mean, A, because there's no Lethbridge Pronghorns hockey team anymore. B, because of COVID. I know that this sounds like a broken record, folks, but do your part. Wear your mask. Keep your distance. Don't gather. And by all means, be smart when it comes to health-related issues. I can't keep saying this every week. I will keep saying it every week, unfortunately, but I can't keep saying it every week until we actually get ourselves back into some sort of normality. And right now, we're not doing that. So come on, folks, let's get it together and let's get our lives back. And certainly, if we can do that, we'll get hockey back. And that's the important part. Right now, everything's shut down from BC right to the eastern Manitoba border. So let's do our part. Let's be responsible and let's actually get this thing under control. In saying that, got to get out of here. Skippy coming in with Free Range Radio right away. Want to thank Delaney Bryan once more for her time today. Another great interview, and certainly one that we're always, always grateful to have. With that, folks, right here for another week. We'll see you next Thursday here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.